We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Before we get started, I wanted to invite you to our next PaperCamp conference, which will take place March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles. This is our signature program where we tackle product development for wholesale, sales strategies, marketing to retailers, and exhibiting at trade shows. We will spend 2 days diving deep with you and helping you figure out everything you need to know to build a strong wholesale foundation. We're going to provide you with a ton of resources that took us years to uncover and share our favorite manufacturers with you. And we will welcome you with open arms to our Trade Show Bootcamp family. If you'd like to join us, head on over to tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp and register. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Sarah Parrott of Parrott Design Studio this week, and I'm really excited for you to hear her story. Sarah is one of our original Trade Show Bootcamp alumni. She attended our very first round of Trade Show Bootcamp classes in 2011 before she exhibited at the National Stationery Show in 2012. And we covered a lot of ground in this interview, so much so that I am going to break it up into two separate parts. You are currently listening to part one, and on this episode, Sarah shares how she started her business with a GoCo printer and an Etsy shop. She talks about how her business model has shifted from retail to custom to retail and wholesale, how she expanded into new product categories, why she strives to find local manufacturing partners, and we also talked about her process for deciding which products to discontinue. Part two will air soon, and that's where we talked about hiring a team, delegating, managing multiple revenue streams, and navigating tough seasons in life while being a business owner. Enjoy today, and I look forward to sharing part two with you soon. Hey, Sarah, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm really excited to talk to you because you were in our very first cohort of Trade Show Bootcamp back in 2011, and your business has changed so much over the years in such a organic and like clear. It's just been a really fun thing to watch because I feel like you've been really true to who you are, what your interests are, what your stage of life is with your kids that you've had, and just it's been really fun to see. So I'm excited for you to share your story with everybody today. But first, I have to start with, I read on your website that you started your business in 2007 with a handheld print GoCo machine, and I had one of those too. So were you using that for just fun, or were you actually creating products with it and selling those?
Both. I started, so this was back when, you know, everyone had blogs and Etsy was really new, and I was looking for a more creative outlet. I was working for a nonprofit doing event planning, and that was like the thing. All these creative people had the GoCo printer, and I was like, yep, I'm getting one. So I saved my tax return money that year, bought one on eBay from Japan, and started using it for fun. I used a lot of clip art images back in the day, and I would print just like these flat cards and give them to family and friends. And then I decided I'm just going to open an Etsy shop. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And from there, it took off. And I actually, for years, printed wedding invitations, which is so crazy to think about now.
On the GoCo?
On the GoCo. Yes.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Because you guys, if you're not familiar with this is like a handheld one by one. I mean, similar to letterpress in a way, but letterpress is so much more automated by the machine. This is, you know, with a GoCo, you're actually putting the paper and, you know, pressing it and everything
else. Yeah, it's kind of like it's a mix between screen printing and rubber stamping. Like you'd use these little flash bulbs to expose the screen. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Then you'd have these little tubes of ink that you'd squeeze out, and then you would just like press it onto the paper.
Yeah. And, the rubber stamp analogy is a really good one. I hadn't thought about that, but that's totally close. So how did that lead to then you learning how to letterpress and creating this like letterpress print house?
Yeah. So I went from GoCo to finally taking a screen printing course. Around this time, a community print shop actually opened in Providence, Rhode Island, at AS220, and I took screen printing course, and they had Vandercook letterpress. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely taking this course as well. So I think I actually took their first letterpress course in the print shop.
Nice.
And from there, I just decided I wanted my own press, like a weekend course. And I was like, I'm going to find my own press. I lived in a second story apartment. My boyfriend, who's now my husband, had a house. And
yeah.
I was like, if I get a press, can I put it in your basement? And so I ended up, yeah, at the beginning of my business, I kind of jumped right in. I was much younger. That was 11 years ago. And yeah, I ended up buying this press made in 1898.
Wow.
And
he let you keep it in the basement?
He did. Yeah. We built a whole room around this 1,000-pound press.
Yeah. I'm like, getting it to the basement's probably hard.
Yeah. This was 2008 when I bought this. And I also took another semester-long course. I was in Providence, so I went to Rhode Island School of Design to take a letterpress course there as well. And then that year, I just taught myself how to print on my press. And whatever friends and family let me print something for them, I would. I printed one of my friends from college wedding invitations, did my sister's wedding invitations. So I really just learned by doing.
Yeah.
And this whole time, I was still working my day job at a nonprofit doing marketing and event planning.
Did you know at that point that you were building up to have a business, or did you think this is more just a creative outlet for you while you have your day job? Like, did you know setting out that you wanted to be an entrepreneur in the printing space?
I did not. I had a degree in marketing. I had always wanted to be in a nonprofit sector. So that's what I was doing, marketing at a nonprofit. And I loved my job and had its creative moments, but this was more of a creative outlet. And then it was a great source of income on the side. I did not make a ton of money at the nonprofit I worked for. So this was great. It was just like extra money. And then,
but what was that light bulb moment where you're like, you know what, I'm going to do this and pursue this as a business?
It was when my Etsy shop really started picking up, and it's when custom inquiries started coming in. So it was probably 2009 where I think I received my first custom wedding invitation inquiry. I had never designed a wedding invitation. And someone saw one of my cards. And again, I was using a lot of like those Dover clip art images. Like nothing was my original artwork at the time. And they were like, we want this on our wedding invitation. I was like, yeah, I can design wedding invitations. Like I was designing newsletters for the nonprofit I worked at. So suddenly I started getting really busy. And I would come home, I'd work, you know, 9 to 5, and then I would work from like 6 to 2 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden I realized, I'm like, I'm set to make more money doing this than my current day job. That's kind of when I kind of did some, crunched some numbers and realized I loved it even more than my job. And my husband and I think we're engaged at this point. We're getting married soon. I was like, well, I can get insurance through him.
Right.
I think that was one of the big hang up was like, oh my gosh, if I leave, you know.
Yeah. It's a legit concern. No, yeah, I remember kind of weighing those pros and cons as well when I was figuring out when to make the jump away from corporate to do these things full time. So, okay, that was kind of your light bulb moment. When you started, it sounds like you started in retail. So what was the evolution of your business model? It sounds like you started on Etsy and then you started into custom. And how long did you do the custom for?
Yeah. So I started with opening the Etsy shop, and I've had that open since, you know, I opened that in 2007, I believe, is when I put my first card in there, and always maintained that, but really got into custom for 3 or 4 years. I was doing wedding invitations because that just took off, especially once I started offering letterpress. So I was doing the design and I was doing all the printing as well. And from there, I think I had a busy year. I think I did like 72 wedding invitations.
Oh my gosh.
Just me. I was like, oh, I can't keep this up. It's, you know, weddings, they're stressful. And I was like, I need to diversify my income sources. I need to revisit my Etsy shop and I need to. So I started putting some letterpress printed cards in there. I still had like GoCo printed cards in there. So I started offering letterpress cards and trying to get a goal of 50-50. I'm like, I want to do 50% weddings, 50% retail. And so that was probably 3 or 4 years where I did that. And then I got a few wholesale inquiries and I would do them. I was totally fumbling my way through figuring that out in my line sheets and catalogs. And I believe around the time probably Trade Show Bootcamp debuted, I had decided I was going to walk the National Stationery Show that year. So this was 2012 at this point. And decided to walk the show, did Trade Show Bootcamp, and then the following year
you exhibited.
Had a booth, yeah, at the stationery show. At that point, I wanted to be like 75%. I really wanted to be like 50% retail, 25 wholesale, 25 wedding. It never breaks down that even, but
right.
This was like my goal.
So we talked before this aired, and you said that weddings started to be too much. I mean, 72 weddings in a year, that's a lot. I mean, not just designing and printing, but the back and forth with your clients or if you're working with an event planner, you know, there's just a lot. That's a high touch product. That's a high time commitment product. So I know your model has changed over the years. I know you cut back on custom a bit and you enhanced your wholesale, as you mentioned. What are your three arms of your business now? What type of work are you doing and offering?
So right now I have Parrot Design Studio, which is my greeting cards and other office products like my pouches and pens and letter openers. And I have Garden Gate Lettering, which is now my lettering arm. I do a lot of custom signage for weddings, you know, menus, cocktail signs, escort cards, stuff like that.
It sounds like more day of, not the actual invitations. Yes,
exactly.
Okay.
And then I also own Garden Gate at Haley Farm, which is a 1817 barn and wedding venue with my husband.
Very cool. I want to talk about that event space a little bit later on in the interview, but I think it's really interesting how you've created these three arms of the business that are really cohesive and kind of play into each other. So for Parrot Designs, that's where you're still doing retail and you're doing wholesale, but you're not doing the custom work out of that arm of the business anymore.
Yes.
Okay.
And we really, we'll get requests to do custom stuff based on those designs, but I really don't accept that.
Okay.
Anymore. Yeah.
I think it's really empowering to hear you talk about the different arms of your business and how you have different products within it. Because I think when we're starting out in, let's say, wedding, for example, it's so easy to say yes to everything that comes your way because you're excited and you're flattered and you want to do the work and, you know, you want to grow your business. So I'll say yes to the invites. And then, you know, 4 months from now, I'll say yes to the day of stuff. And like it gets to be a lot to manage. And it's hard to create systems and processes around that when you're managing all those types of things. So to hear that on the custom side of things, you're just handling day of, I'm really happy to hear that and impressed by that because I'm seeing more and more wedding people that are focusing specifically on where their interests and their talents lie. And I think that enables you to do a better job. It makes it very clear for the customer too what they can get, you know, by working with you. And I don't know, I just think it's a very smart business move for you. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Yes, it felt right and it feels a lot better.
It's more manageable just from a purely logistical standpoint too.
Hey friends, I know you wear a lot of hats as a small business owner. And while some of those hats are pretty great, others like filing your taxes and running payroll, those aren't so great. And that is where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for all of us small business owners. They have fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add on health benefits or even 401ks for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way we're doing small business work today. But Gusto is. And now is the best time to get set up for the new year. Listeners of Proof to Product get 3 free months when they run their first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/proof. That's gusto.com/proof.
So let's talk more about your product mix at Parrot Design. So you sell greeting cards and notebooks. You mentioned you also have some office supplies. So I want to talk about two of your products in particular, the pencil pouches and your acrylic cake toppers. You were kind of one of the first to branch out specifically into those acrylic cake toppers. How did you come up with that idea? And was it difficult to find manufacturing help for some of these products that you couldn't just letterpress in your studio? You know, you had to outsource them. So what, first of all, like, how did you come up with these ideas? And then what was the process of bringing that to market?
Yeah. So my sister actually owns a bakery. And so I think one of her customers wanted like a lobster cake topper, like two little lobsters.
Cute.
With a heart, which is a cake topper we have now. And I was like, oh, we could figure that out. And so I had found so I laser cut them. I work with a laser cutter. Mm-hmm. And I had found one. And we first started off with just wood because I believe this was just like a Google search of finding laser cutters. And the one I found was on the West Coast and she only cut wood, not acrylic. And I was like, okay, that's fine. We can start with wood and we'll paint it if we want to. So I would do a few for my sister. And I think this happened before I was doing the stationery show. It was my second stationery show.
Okay.
I decided to launch them there. And when I launched them there, they were just wood cake toppers and you had the option of painting them.
Okay.
Which it was great, actually. So Beholden picked up the cake toppers at that stationery show.
Mm-hmm. So you had a very cute display for it too, I remember.
Yeah, so my sister had made me actually these faux cakes to display them on. Uh-huh. So after that, I decided I wanted to add the acrylic. And I'd always wanted to add the acrylic, but it was trying to find a manufacturer. So again, it was just like tons of Google searching. Mm-hmm. And I ended up finding someone who was literally a half hour from me, who he was opening up a laser cutting shop. Like he had left a corporate job, you know, was young and was like, I want to start my own business and I'm going to do this.
How serendipitous.
Oh my gosh. It was like, things don't normally work out like this. Right. And it was amazing. And he cut acrylic and he helped me source acrylic and find the colors that I wanted. And so he was great, would help me because I would cut them in large sheets. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And then I could go pick them up. So much as my business has gone on, I'm trying to have as many of my suppliers be as local as possible. And it's 11 years of still working towards that goal and constantly searching. And
well, I like that you brought up a couple of things. I like that you brought up is it was a whole lot of Googling because that's where that's where we all start.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Even when we have a community like ours and a vendor directory that we all have in our alumni community, like it still starts with Googling. And then secondly, the fact that you tried different people before you found, you know, the person you're now working with, because I think it's so important, especially for people just starting out. It's very rare that the first person we work with on a project is going to be the person we work with long term. And when we do, it's amazing. But at the same time, you know, what do they say? You got to kiss a lot of frogs to find your prince or something.
Like, so I don't know.
Yes. I feel like the same is true for manufacturing, you know, like just and having people local. I love that that's a priority for you because, again, you can go do press checks or color checks or, you know, see get to know the people and build relationships. That's really, really great. And important.
Yeah. So it's been fun. So we have that. Yep. So now we have a few different acrylic options and we've had a few custom requests, but really we just have kind of our in-house designs that we work from it's gone well. Yeah.
Good. Did you have any other specific challenges when you were starting the pencil pouches or even the letter openers?
Yeah. So the pencil pouches, those are made in New Hampshire. So I'm in Maine. So that was local as well. But again, that started with a Google search of like canvas totes, canvas pouches. Mm-hmm. And pouches was something I always wanted because myself using a million pens and pencils for my work, wanting a pouch. Yeah. So I found them and they did the screen printing in-house, but I wasn't ready to get that many since it's a, you know, it was a new product and I didn't want to take a huge risk in screen printing like 500 in one design and what if it flops? So I went back to my screen printing skills and actually screen printed them
myself.
Okay. Yeah, we have another community print shop in Portland. So I rent space there to screen print those.
Okay. So what you just described is a huge fear for a lot of people, you know, when they're starting in a new product category, like how much do I order? How much do I invest in this without knowing if it's going to sell? So your solution to that was to have them do blank pouches that then you could customize.
Exactly. So I had them, we did all the same zippers. We have gold zippers and I had either a beige or a black tape around the zippers. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of customization there. We have three designs. And so from there, so I think I forget how many I ordered at once, but I just did blank and then I divided it into the three and then screen printed. I'd screen print in small batches, which was one of the great things too. And then we added little acrylic tags to them, which went back to my guy who does my cake toppers to add those little poles to them.
What kind of that? That's a great way to tie it all together too. So how did you, with the acrylic stuff, were you able to start smaller there or did you have to do?
Yes. He. So one of the things, and this is kind of with everything, the more you order, the less it is per piece.
Right.
So then you're making more profit. So I did start small on those. He can do certain sheets and he can just do one sheet. And but the more I do, so if I have a big order, it's less per piece.
Do you keep a lot in inventory now? Now that you've kind of seen how things sell?
Yes, exactly. And there's certain colors, like with the acrylic cake topper, certain colors we just don't do anymore. Or we keep more colors of one design on hand now, just because we know that will be more popular. And same with the pouches. Like one design really took off better than all the rest of them. So now we kind of just focus on that one design. And I mean, over the years, I think about all the products I've had and they were great, but then dropped them or even designs on cards. Like I'm pretty ruthless every year cutting out anything that's not working.
Are you? So let's talk about that a little bit, because discontinuing is also a big fear for a lot of people because one, they think they need to have a large line. And you do, you know, I talk all the time. You need to have a large enough line that buyers want to buy, particularly if you're selling wholesale. You know, you need to have enough variety. But at the same time, too, if your line gets too large and it's not cohesive or things aren't selling well, you know, that's where it's time to kind of like take inventory on and see what's working and what's not working. So once a year you go through and decide what to discontinue?
I do. Yep. Usually kind of, you know, we'll run reports throughout the year just to see how things are doing. And I learned early on, like when I was first starting to letterpress, oh my God, I'd print like 1,000 of one design and then like it wouldn't sell and all that paper is tied up in that inventory and you can't do anything about it. So over the years, I've learned, you know, testing new products and not printing a ton. But so at the beginning of the year, when I'm getting ready to do our next catalog, like our new catalog for that year, usually is when I go through, look at the numbers and see which ones just aren't selling or just aren't worth it to keep on or which ones we want to refresh. I used to dread it as well. Like I used to hang on and hang on because either I would personally love the design and be like, why don't people like this?
Right, right.
And especially when I was building my line, I kept things just so I would have a lot to select from.
Yeah, you'd have more options. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as my style has absolutely changed since I started this. Like I look at things when I first started to what I'm doing now, doesn't even look like the same person.
that's normal though, you know?
Yeah. So now I don't mind, oh my gosh, I take that red pen. I just cross off things and because it just doesn't make sense to keep these things that aren't selling and it just allows more room for new things.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
And just to keep you looking fresh as well. And, you know, as a business. So especially when you're doing wholesale and, you know, stores want to see you coming out with new things.
Yeah.
Often.
So. Absolutely. I will say too, hearing you talk about this and I'm seeing you because we're on video right now, like you have a confidence about you though, that because you've been in business as long as you have, you know your line as well as you do. You know what your market is looking for. I think it makes it, I don't want to say it's easy because it's not easy to decide which of your children to like take out of the catalog, so to speak. But at the same, but I do think it's a different frame of mind when you're just starting your business and you're having to kind of curate this product collection, right? Versus when you've been doing it a while and you've seen the track record and you know what you're coming up with and you know what you're excited. I don't know. I think it shows maturity in your business too and maturity for you as a business owner that it's easier now for you to discontinue product than it was back when you started.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like right now, I know, I feel like the best I've ever felt in all the businesses I've had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm working on next year's release and it's looking a lot different than anything I've ever done before, which I think at another time would have been scary to really do a real 360 on what I've been offering. It's still my lettering, still my illustrations, but it's just a lot different. But I'm really excited for this change and
I can't wait
feel to like I'm at a place in my business where I can just do this.
Well, again, it ties back to the confidence to know how you have your clients. And I mean, I applaud that. I think it's great. Hey, friends, when it comes to our Trade Show Bootcamp alumni, I am like a proud mama bear that wants to shout their successes from the rooftops. Everyone is working so hard and building strong, unique businesses, and it is inspiring to see, and I'm 100% honored that they allow us to play a small part in their growth and success. So today I wanted to share a success story from one of our alumni that attended Paper Camp, our Paper Camp conference. When Alex from Chez Gagnier came to Paper Camp, she had been in business for about 20 months. She did not have an office studio, she was working out of her living room, and she had a collection of about 80 letterpress greeting cards, which was pretty good. Some people come with fewer designs, but she had 80 letterpress greeting cards ready to roll. Alex knew that wholesale was her end game. She knew that's where she wanted to put her time, her focus, and her energy. So she came and she soaked up a ton of information at Paper Camp, and then she went home and put what she learned into action. Alex sourced new products, she reached out to new buyers, and she streamlined her internal processes for her business. Alex now works with a large number of sales reps. She has a small but mighty team working out of a new warehouse space that she's actually in the process of outgrowing right now. She's grown her product line substantially to include new product categories, and she's also increased the volume at which she is producing these products. This year alone, Alex exhibited at a number of trade shows. She's done dozens of trade shows since coming to Paper Camp. And within a year of her coming to Paper Camp, her hustle and hard work landed her products in more than 500 retail stores. It's been incredible to see her growth and her hard work play out, and I'm honored that she allowed myself and Paper Camp to be a small part in that success. If you are looking to grow your wholesale line, if you want to create a smart, strong foundation for your business, I invite you to join us at Paper Camp March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles. We are going to keep this small and intimate so that you can ask any and all questions that you have so that you can fast forward your business. Again, you can get information at tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp, and we look forward to working with you. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.